you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. On this Mother's Day, I am really, really thankful for my mom. I read something just a couple of days ago. I take a daily email or newsletter from Dr. Jim Dennison, and he wrote a section of a blog this past week that dealt with moms and the importance of moms, and just wanted to share it with you. He says, if your mother opens her mouth with wisdom, as it speaks about in Proverbs 31. If she opens her mouth with wisdom, thank her and thank God for her. If your mother helped you know your heavenly Father better, forsake not your mother's teaching, as it talks about in Proverbs 1:8. If God has blessed you with a godly wife, know that she is far more precious than jewels, as it speaks about in Proverbs 31:10. George Washington testified, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Abraham Lincoln agreed, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." As did Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." And Dennison says, "Like them, I will forever be grateful for my godly wife and her eternal influence on our family." And if your mother is with our Father in heaven, thank him for her life and legacy. And if she's on this side of glory, thank her for the gift of your life and her love. It's been said that great people plant trees that they'll never sit under. And who is greater in our world than our mothers? I'm so thankful for my mom, the incredible influence that she had on my life growing up and continues to have on my life to this day. And when I think about my mom, I think about the long arc of her influence. Her influence started for me over 46 years ago when I was born, continues to have a long arc of influence that extends well beyond my life. It extends over into the life of my family, my wife, my kids, and it affects my relationships. It's affecting and influencing the way that I pastor. My mom has a long arc of influence that just continues to reach and extend over my life. And one of the ways that my mom's long arc of influence continues to influence me is by the way that I see my mom love my dad, the way that they still love one another and do life together. Both Allison and I are really blessed to have both of our parents. They're both still married to one another. They both are working on 50 years of marriage almost, and we just are really, really grateful for their long arc of influence that truly will last a lifetime for both of us. And subsequently, it's going to continue to last for our kids because the long arc of their influence goes beyond just us. And it really does cover others in our life and in our family and in our church and in our neighborhood and in our community and in our world. And what we've been saying in this series about growing strong families is this: how nothing impacts the trajectory and the direction of a child's life more than their relationships with their parents. That is such a critical, critical statement to wrap your mind, wrap your heart, wrap your life around. And man, if you're like me, if you're a parent, at times every single parent has at least a moment, if not a season, if not their whole parenting career, where you feel, I feel helpless at times, kind of clueless at times, in need of somebody throwing me a lifeline or throwing you a lifeline to help. Because maybe it feels like you're kind of sinking into this parenting pit and you don't know how to get out and don't know what to do there. And yet you know that it's your responsibility to raise your kids, but man, you just at the same time feel helpless and kind of clueless on how to do it and how to keep parenting them through the different seasons of life. I mean, are there any parents or grandparents who just kind of hear that and they're going, yep, I'll raise my hand, help, give me something, anything. I could use some help continuing to raise my family. Well, man, my hand is up too. Me too. And so I'll just tell you, I continue to devour resources from others who have perspectives on parenting and growing strong families, whatever the family dynamic that you may have. There are great resources that are available. Some of those are out in our Home Life Center, and they are there for you, and they're there for me. And some of the people who've really impacted my life and my parenting and mine and Allison's parenting are people like Kurt Bruner and guys like Steve Stroop and Andy Stanley and Reggie Joyner, a guy named Doug Fields. And so a lot of what I'm sharing this morning and throughout this series that we've been in are some thoughts from their work. And man, it is helping me, hopefully in a good way, to parent more effectively. And I pray that what we're sharing with you during this series is helping you as well. And today, I do want us to talk about the long arc of influence. Would you just say that with me? The long arc of influence. The long arc of influence. The Apostle Paul writes about this concept of influencing people in a letter that he wrote to a group of moms and dads and grandparents and single adults and kids who were living in a city called Corinth. Corinth. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the New Testament, over to 2 Corinthians. We'll look at a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So turn on your Bible if you read your Bible off of your phone. If you didn't bring a Bible, there should be a Bible in the row in front of you. And 2 Corinthians 10 is going to be on page 968. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning, and I'll make sure that you have a Bible to take with you. It'll be our gift to you. So as you're finding 2 Corinthians 10 in this passage that we're going to look at, Paul is talking about the ways that the Lord has led him to influence these people that he's writing to through his ministry that led to this church being established in this city of Corinth. But men and women, when it comes to influence, when it comes to ministry, know this. There is no greater ministry that God desires for you and for me to invest in than the ministry of our own family. Whatever your family dynamic looks like in this season of life, that's the ministry field, the mission field. God really wants you not to overlook. And when God allows you to be a part of a family, God assigns you the responsibility of influencing your family with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to growing strong families, faith starts at home. Would you just say that phrase with me? Faith starts at home. It does. It starts at home. Your family is your primary mission field. And God intends for you and God intends for me to have the greatest impact, the greatest influence within our own families. And as we read these words that the Apostle Paul writes, I want you to notice how he talks to this church, this faith family that was situated in the city of Corinth, and how he talks about influence. Let's read together. We'll begin in 2 Corinthians 10 in verse 13. The Apostle Paul's writing, and he says, but we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in this passage, the Apostle Paul is really talking about the long arc of influence. Three different times in this passage that we read, the Apostle Paul uses the word influence. Now, the word for influence that Paul used in the original language is an interesting word. It's a word, kanon. Kanon, K-A-N-O-N, kanon. The word kanon originally designated or means a straight rod, like this one that I have here, a straight rod. So this is a kanon of sorts, a straight rod that can be used as a ruler or a rule to follow. It can be used as a measuring instrument. So a kanon is a straight rod that sometimes when you start digging into that word and the origin behind that word, it can be used to make sure that someone who is weaving something stays straight as they're weaving it, as they're weaving things together. So this straight rod, this kanon, is an influencer to what's being woven together. So the end product turns out in the way that it was intended. So Paul is talking about the importance of kanon, the importance of influence in people's lives, influence in families, influence that starts at home to help weave the life of a child, weave the life of a family in a straight way, in a desired way, in a healthy and right and God-honoring way. That's kanon. That's influence that yields this really long arc that Paul is talking about. That's how Paul actually ends another letter that he's writing to another church. This church was to a group of people who lived in a city called Galatia. Look what he says. It's on the screen here. This is from Galatians 6, verses 14 to 16. And he says this, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He goes on to write, and he says, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. What he's saying there is, it's not about what you do on the outside or how much religion you practice on the outside. He goes on to say, but it's about a new creation. It's about what's going on the inside. It's about a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to write this. In verse 16, he says, and as for all who walk by this rule, or this kanon is the word, this influence, for all who walk by this kanon, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. So Paul is talking about a kind of kanon, a kind of influence that's used to help take root inside relationships that people have with one another. One of the things that we gave Allison a few Mother's Days ago, several Mother's Days ago, we went over to Lowe's one day, and they had a lot of little trees on sale over there. We bought a bunch of trees for like $5. You're like, man, I bet those were some crummy trees. Those trees have grown huge in our backyard. But you know what we had to put next to each one of those trees? A canone. You go, I didn't call it a canone. I called it a stake. That stake is a canone. And if that tree is going to grow tall, I'm having to prune all these trees now. It's the Mother's Day gift that keeps on giving to Dad. But all those trees had canones connected to them. See, as we think about our own families, our own kids, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, a mom on this Mother's Day, a dad on this Mother's Day, would you be willing to ask yourself and think about this question? It's on the screen here. Look at it. What am I doing to nurture my child's relationship with me as their parent? What am I doing to nurture my child's relationship with me as their parent? You go, well, what does that have to do with canone? Well, see, this canone, this stake, this tree rod, it can't just kind of be close. I mean, if I'm using these trees back here as an example, it can't just kind of be over here and go, okay, I got a canone. No, it's got to be close to it. It's got to be relationally connected to it. So if this tree here was growing crooked, I can't even just kind of put it close by. I've got to bind it to it, connect it to it. It's got to have some kind of relational pull, relational connection that's going to help influence the growth of that tree. That's canone. That's the long arc of influence. There's got to be a connection. As parents, the things that we do impact the trajectory and the direction and the arc of our kids' lives, for better or for worse. So what am I doing as a parent? What can I do to nurture my child's relationship with me? Let me talk for the next couple of minutes about two reasons to invest and to engage in the relationship with your kids, whatever that relationship looks like. Two reasons. The first one is this: when it matters most, the quality of your relationship with your children will determine the weight of your influence. See, no relationship or little relationship with your mom, with your dad, equals little weight regarding the influence in your life with her or with him. The converse is also true. The stronger the relationship, the more you're relationally connected and tied together, that's going to equal a greater weight of influence. A greater weight of influence. See, parents always want to sit in the seat of influence with their kids. What gives parents influence in the lives of their children is the weight that is tied back to their relational connection and engagement. See, we have great influence in our kids' life when they start out, when they're little bitty. And that influence oftentimes has a whole lot to do with our size and strength and position versus their size and strength and position. In other words, I'm bigger, I'm dad, I can just pick you up and put you where I want you. because I'm dad and I have dad strength. I'm bigger than you. I can do what I want with you because of my size and my power and my position. But there's coming a day when the size and position thing is going to begin to erode. It's going to begin not to be as much of a factor. See, we have great size and position over our kids when they're little. And in our parenting, if we do not quickly shift, while we do have the size and the position advantage, if we don't make a shift from controlling a responsibility that we have to influencing a relationship that we want to be connected to, if we don't begin to make that shift, we're going to be in for an influence that's not as long as we would like it to be. It's going to be shorter. It's going to not be as weighty. And that's going to haunt us later on. Why do I say that? Because when our kids will need us the most to influence their decisions the most, if we're not careful, we may have eroded our influence away. Now, why is that? The reason that is because we never transitioned from control due to size and power toward an authentic relational connection that's growing healthy, deep roots. And where there is no relationship, there one day will be no influence. Where there is no relationship, there one day will be no influence. And your best bet for preparing them for the future that will come is going to be through relational channels. You go, what do you mean? What's the different word for relational channels? We call them daddy-daughter dates. We call them mama-daughter days or guys' weekends. Those times where you are investing, where you're relationally tying in to the one you're trying to grow strong and tall and influence with a long arc. So as soon as we can, we must move off of the I'm bigger and more powerful to let's begin to form and foster healthy parent-child relationships with each other. So don't grade yourself by whether you win or lose the argument, win or lose the issue. Grade yourself by the nurturing and the depth of your relationships with your kids. Whatever season of life you may be experiencing right now that can grow into and way, way old in adulthood. What does that look like in your life? See, if your parenting always leads with as long as you live in my house, I fear that there may come a day when they have heard that so much that they don't come back. And that would then leave the arc of your influence shortened and terminal rather than long and life-giving. You see, the goal is not to control your kids. The goal is to influence your kids. Why do I say that? Because before you can turn around, before I can turn around, your kids are on the verge of the most important decisions in their life. Even decisions that may need to be made when they no longer live under your roof. And so, Dad, don't be content on grading yourself just by being a good provider. As important as that is, grade yourself on how you are being relationally connected as an influencer to your kid that has a long arc of influence, even after they move out And moms, God's given you something inside of you oftentimes that he just didn't give to some of us dads, at least as innately or as naturally. Moms, you get this more naturally. You get this more instinctively than dads. We need some help here about how important it is not just to provide, but to grow deep relational roots that we're connected with our kids. Help us out on some of your tricks and tips. So we're talking about these two reasons to invest and to engage in the relationship with your kids. First off, we've been talking about when it matters most, the quality of your relationship with your children will determine the weight of your influence. The second thing we want to look at for a few minutes is this: your relationship with your kids will impact the quality of their future relationships. That's a big one. Let me unpack this one for you. So an investment in the relationship with your child today is like investing in all of the future relationships that your kids are ever going to be involved with. Think about how long that arc of influence really is. I mean, that's mind-blowing. That can be kind of scary if you think about it for a minute. But think about this. Emotionally healthy people generally have emotionally healthy relationships. And the converse is true there. But there is no greater factor in your kids' moral choices tomorrow than in their relationship with you today. Let that sink in for a second. Think about that. Love God with all your mind here. Clue in here. See, there's all kinds of factors, all kinds of influencers that are going to shape your kids' moral choices throughout their life. But the greatest factor in shaping their moral choices starts at home. It's what they're tied to at home. It's the canon in their life at home. And think about this, mom, dad, grandparent. We always will be impacted by the future relationships of our kids, will we not? I mean, think about that for a second. Who your kid marries is going to impact you. Who your kids run around with, it's going to come back to you. It's going to impact you in some way. Some way, your kids' future relationships are going to come back and impact you and your family. So, in other words, if I'm cultivating and I'm nurturing a relationship with my kids right now are 12 and 14 years old, just about 12 and 14. Jack's got a birthday in a few weeks. It's going to be 14. Can you believe that? 14. 12 and 14. And if we'll keep staying relationally connected and cultivating that canon kind of an influence at 12 and 14, Allison and I are then impacting the quality of their future relationships with the kids that they're going to run with 5 years from now when they're 17 and 19. And you're sitting there going, no way, you can't control a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old. To which I would say, I don't want to control them. I want to transfer from a control responsibility to an influencing relationship. Because one day soon, my size and position are not going to be to my kids then what they are today. And so how do I get influence then by what I'm doing now? You see that connection there? And if we can work on and develop and nurture, begin a relationship, an authentic, a trusting, a deeper relationship now than perhaps they will let me influence them later. And that's what Allison and I are working on and praying toward now. We're praying that God would give us a long arc of influence. A long arc of influence. And I realize that I'm preaching today out of where I live. You know what? Newsflash, I always do. It's just where I am in my walk with the Lord. And some of you have already walked in that season, and some of you are coming behind us on that season. But there's always something that the Lord wants to say, whatever season that we're in. And some of you may be going, what am I supposed to do? Because I have the 17 and the 19-year-old, or the 27 and the 29-year-old. And what am I supposed to do? Do you have a word for me? I think there's a word coming for you in a few moments. Hang with me. Hang with me. Before we get to that word, let me just share with you that I was reading some research that was published about the family from the Center on the Developing Child. It's out of Harvard University. And this research is all about how kids can have the best shot at being successful at developing skills that are then going to serve them throughout their whole life. Harvard wanted to find out about this long arc of influence in this study that they called Executive Function, Skills for Life and Learning. Here's what the research concluded, quote, "Children develop in an environment of relationships. This starts in the home and extends to caregivers, teachers, medical and human services professionals, foster parents, and peers. Children are more likely to build effective executive function skills if the important adults in their life are able to do these things: support their efforts, model the skills." That means you can't just say because I said so. You got to actually do it. You got to model it. Engage in activities in which they can practice the skills. Provide a consistent, reliable presence that young children can trust. Listen to this one here. Guide them from complete dependence on adults to gradual independence, from control to influence. That's what that's talking about. And then finally, this one, protect them. Boy, we want to protect our kids, don't we? What do we need to protect them from? This right here. Protect them from chaos, violence, and chronic adversity, because toxic stress caused by these environments disrupts the brain circuits required for executive functioning and triggers impulsive act now, think later behavior. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Yeah. You're going, man, that's a lot of words on a Mother's Day. I'm just trying to make sure mom's feeling good and she can take a nap. And well, can you just boil all that down? Yeah, I'll boil all that Harvard research down. Here's what Harvard University's Center on Developing the Child is saying in one phrase. It's this: influence your kids through relationships. Influence your kids through relationships. Would you just say that with me? Influence your kids through relationships. Everything that Harvard's talking about in this research study boils down to one word: kanon. Influence. Influence. What the Apostle Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians 10 and Galatians chapter 6 is influence. and what God desires for you and for me to be about when it comes to our kids, to our grandkids, is influence. And the way that we influence our kids most effectively is through nurturing and cultivating and praying for healthy relationships. Mom, dad, grandparents, when it comes to our kids, relationship cultivation is a huge part in growing strong families and being able to influence your kids, not control them, influence them through all of the seasons of life, through all of the stages in their life. That's something that every parent longs to have. I mean, just think about the bullseye that you've kind of been shooting toward when it comes to parenting or grandparenting or your family. The bullseye that Allison and I are shooting towards in this parenting thing is that when our kids don't have to come home anymore, they still want to come home. They still want to come home. And we don't have to guilt them, and we don't have to bribe them. I mean, maybe we'll buy them a trip for a vacation to come with us, and that's an awesome thing, by the way. We've been blessed in that way. And man, we show up for sure. As good as that is, man, we don't want there to be any strings. Just they know they can come back home to the flower pot because that's where they've grown. That's where they were nurtured. That's where they were cultivated. And if you're sitting there going, man, I'm kind of feeling a little hopeless on that. Hold on. That word for you is coming. But man, that's success for parenting for me. After we've had the privilege of leading our kids to Christ and baptizing them here in that baptistry right there, man, that next thing is that down the line, they would want to come back home. They'd want to come back home. That's what Allison and I long for and pray for, are working on now in hopes of the payoff then. And it starts with cultivating and nourishing a relationship with your kids right now. How do you do that? A couple of things before we wrap up. Two elements that lead to a great relationship with your kids. Number one, they need to feel accepted. They need to feel accepted. And then number two, they need to have your time. They need to have your time. And it's not a matter of quantity or quality time. It is a quantity of quality time. Good parenting is incredibly inconvenient. That'll tweet. Good parenting is incredibly inconvenient. And we don't always do it right. But man, we try to get back in there day in and day out. And maybe you're sitting there going, that's great. How do I regain what I have lost? How do I get back in with my kids if I've blown it in the past? Or maybe you feel like you're blowing it right now. There's no easy answer, but let me give this as a place to start. You may have to serve your way back in. You may have to serve your way back in. And even that word presupposes that there's some relationship with your kid or grandkid to begin with. And as you evaluate and assess, you may not have that. So what do? You do what you can with where you're at. Do what you can with where you are at. Even if the only thing that you really can do right now is pray, that's better than moping. Moping doesn't change a lot. Prayer will. And a lot of what prayer changes is you as much as it changes them. It may be that part of what you need to do if you just feel like you've got no relationship is acknowledge that. Acknowledge that with your child. Acknowledge that, man, it didn't turn out the way that you kind of thought it would or hoped it would, or maybe just acknowledge that. Don't grovel in the past. Acknowledge it. Name it. Keep praying. Own it. Ask for forgiveness and a seed to plant. You may not have a great oak tree that your whole family can sit under right now. If all you've got is an acorn, plant it. Plant it. Plant it and nurture it and see what God might desire to do if you'll trust Him with the outcome, but you'll condone yourself, stake yourself as an influencer, whatever that may look like. You can't buy your way back in. That's a string that feels attached to guilt or bribery. But man, serving your family for as long as it takes, I believe, is how that door begins to get cracked back open. You know, it's hard to keep a door slammed in the face of someone who keeps coming back to serve. No strings attached. Influence is a part of faith cultivation and life cultivation and relationship cultivation and nourishment. And it starts at home or from home. For some of you who no longer have kids in your home, mom, dad, grandmother, grandfather, may we be willing to work hard and pray hard for the relationships with our kids and our grandkids and with our families that can lead to the long arc of influence. I want to pray for you. I want to invite our worship team to come and just lead us in a moment of response. And man, that's a lot, Lord. That's a lot that we've talked about today. And so I pray for these families. I pray for these moms, these dads, these grandparents, these who desire to have a family dynamic that's different than the one that they may be experiencing today. Lord, we want a long arc of influence. And it won't get there overnight, Lord. It won't get there overnight. But over many, many nights of being relationally connected and cultivating that relationship, Lord, I believe you want to do something great. I believe you want to grow oaks that are tall with long branches that extend wide and far, that have fruit and shade, that generations down the line will sit underneath. Lord, you want to do something great in all of our families, present and future. And Lord, there's places where you want to bring healing from the past. On this Mother's Day, Lord, would you help us start fresh in our commitment to growing strong families. I pray for each person who's here today that you would move in their life, in their heart, in a way that you know will be an influencer for them. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you our families. We give you our lives. And we trust you to be the influencer that we need today and for all of our tomorrows. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.